If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. Brandon Pham, and back at it again once a month with a roundtable news episode where game devs sit around the campfire, virtual campfire, of course, and talk about the latest and recent game news related to game devs. With my special second unofficial host, you got to earn that title, Ray. Ray Graham, how you doing, Ray?
Hey, what's happening? How you doing?
All right. Gave you the wrong background there, so no one can see. Ray, as kind of tradition, just want to see how you're doing, man. Another month of pandemic. I know people are tired of hearing me telling them how terrible things are, but how are things?
I mean, the light is at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yeah, hearing, two vaccines in the
We're hearing about vaccines and stuff. So maybe by May or June of next year, things might be back to normal. Hopefully, maybe, who knows? But yeah, it sucks. It sucks. Also, like, you know, we're coming up on the holidays, and I'm choosing to stay away from my family for the holidays. So that also really sucks.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I'm gonna take some time off still and try to relax. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, we're definitely on this side making some hard decisions ourselves. We made a judgment call, took a look around, made some judging, and said that you people aren't taking this seriously enough. We can't do this. Wow. I even asked, like, hey, if you guys want to plan ahead and do Thanksgiving together, just, you know, 2 weeks, let's get tested, get quarantined, you know, treat it seriously, and then 2 weeks later we get tested again and it's better than nothing and we'll take the risk and we'll hang out. But none of them follow through, so we're doing immediate families only.
None of them wanted to subject themselves to some testing.
I guess they didn't like us. They didn't like us enough. I mean, we did do like a little Big Bear cabin trip a few weeks ago, and we all got tested. I got tested. I shoved that thing up in my nose. I wouldn't say a gag reflex because it's up my nose, but I have like the sneezing.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I didn't know that about myself where I just have this uncontrollable sneezing because I was like, I poked it up because you had to do a two nose, right? And I had to do like a drive through. I had to do it myself at first, and I heard those are not as accurate, but I really shoved it up there. Okay. And after the instruction, I put it up in my right nose, you know, just slowly approaching up there and trying to touch my brain with it. And I sneeze immediately. And then, of course, you know, because of my reaction, the thing fell out of my nose. And then, you know, I didn't get it up there high enough. So I stuck it back in and twisted, sneezed again. And then I put it on the other one. And it was uncontrollable sneeze. I don't know how people do it with nurses helping them because they'll be sneezing all over the place.
I mean, we don't need to hear about this.
I'm just telling the people out there that testing, I got it free. I went to a CVS. Got it for free. No hassle whatsoever. They just needed the name, and they just, I guess for Californians, they just send it to the government and they pay for it. I did pay a cent. So testing is very available now versus months ago. And I do feel like it's kind of dumb that families can't get their shit together to be quarantine buddies. You know what I mean? Like really pick a group and stick with it.
I mean, it's just better to just not even bother. You know what I mean? I like I don't need to be around people that much where I'm going to like let everybody test and quarantine for 2 weeks. And then they have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And I don't even know if they didn't quarantine or not. I have no idea. Yeah. And like, nah, man, I can't.
I guess that's the difference. I mean, we love our family, Ray, enough to like want to hang with them after 8 months. I would also say that cabin trip was a relief.
You know, for me, my family, I got to get on a plane.
Yeah,
so I'm not getting on no
plane. Oh yeah, you're going too far. Yeah, we're like 15 minutes away, so
yeah,
we're not so bad. Anyways, it's sad to hear that, but yeah, in California, it has been jumping 40%, like pretty crazy, and it's better to just hold out a little longer if you're already holding out. And that's kind of like my thinking process.
Especially in your neck of the woods has been going kind of crazy.
Orange County is kind of dumb. Yeah, definitely. Well, Bay Area is pretty bad too. You guys in a red. Yeah.
I saw some map and it was like LA, Orange County area was just bananas.
It's basically a big swath of color from down here to up there. Really, all California seems to. I think as soon as the vaccine news came out, people were just full abandonment. Not caring, which is never good. But anyways, this is the Roundtable News episode. As always, our opinion reflects our own. And let's get right to it, man. Public announcement, man. I actually want to ask you about this because we do have a lot of game devs out there. Obviously, we only mentioned this once in a while. You're over there at Unity. I saw like a special initiative actually with you guys 80,000 devs. Like, can you explain that a bit? Because even I was interested because you guys are going through programming as well, right? Being a programmer yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I can't really do it that much justice, right?
But I'll pull some facts up here too.
On the blog though, like, it's basically what they're announcing. Are these career pathways. So the folks that want to get like kind of want to go down the path of like saying being a Unity programmer, right? Can take a course that's pretty long, and that course will prepare them to become certified. And nice. And it's going to be paid for by the Social Impact Unity Social Impact org, and it's free, and you know, you could just start. You know, there's links to the learning material. There's one called Unity Essentials, which is just 1 or 2 weeks for like real basic Unity stuff. And then there's one junior programmer, which is 3 to 4 months of 60 hours of guided learning, right?
Nice.
So, and then that will kind of set you up so that you can also become a certified Unity developer.
And this is available to the first 80,
It says that the goal is they want to reach 80,000 people, but I don't think there is a limit.
Okay.
Right. At least not from what I can see. But it's just like, yeah, you just click on the link, junior programmer link, and it's in the blog there. And you go straight there. You
know? It's really cool.
It sounds like it's a really cool thing. You know, like I'm all about education and getting more educational material out there. One of the reasons why I work at Unity is because I think Unity is a very easy way of getting into game dev and learning game dev, right?
It's an awesome initiative. I saw that, and I saw them using the D word, diversity, as part of the initiative. So it's definitely a great opportunity for anybody who wants to learn something while pandemic. Like even my kid is 10. I just threw it at him for the first time today because he's really getting into. I'm at that place where I'm buying copies of two games now for myself and him to play together. And I threw it at him. I was like, you want to start learning games? He's like, yeah, he was super interested. So, and this kind of popped in today. So I was like, yeah, it'd be actually a pretty cool way to get him started and skip college tuition.
It's just all about removing or lowering the barrier to entry. You know what I mean? And really kind of opening the door for people to get into game. Like it's has not been any easier than it is these days.
Yeah, and I think it's fantastic. Yeah.
And so folks just need to, and it's free.
It's awesome.
Get with it. Yeah.
Well, I want to, on behalf of the game dev community, I think it's a great opportunity. Again, we're not at least this episode, we're sponsored by Unity. We've been sponsored by Unity before. But, you know, I'm a big fan of free education. So go out there, go seek it out, guys. I'll drop it on this week's episode's link so you can follow up. I think it's already opened, right?
Yeah.
This is day one, right?
The links are active. You can click on them.
Perfect. Right, awesome. Cool. With that being cast aside, I think we kind of have to address the elephant in the room as well, which is the big PS5. Although neither of us really tried getting one, I think it's worth mentioning. Have you heard any grave reviews? Like your general. Let me. It's a good thing I'm recording it. Any general consensus? Is the next gen or now this gen meeting up to the expectations?
I mean, I try to get one, but you know, Walmart did not allow me rejected to get one. Yeah, they told me to go fly kite. But no, but I see people playing Spider-Man and Astro's Playroom and Demon Souls. That's pretty much what I'm seeing, and it's looking nice. You know, you see the reviews of Spider-Man's real-time ray tracing compared to having it on versus having it off. I personally think turning it off and getting 60 frames a second is a worthy trade-off, but even with it on, it's a good looking game, you know. Yeah. And it's looking pretty good on PS5, so it's right now it's looking great. It's just there's just not a whole lot of titles. Like I think having Spider-Man and Demon's Souls is going to help straight out the gate. Microsoft doesn't really have something that's comparable, but it's looking good.
Cool. Not bad. Yeah, I think I skipped the PS4 console version. So there's a lot of PS4 games that I'm looking towards playing on this gen on PS5 when I do get it, probably next year. I'm not in a rush.
I don't know how you skipped PS4. I don't even understand. That does not compute.
Like, I got two kids to feed. I got a mortgage. How's computing now? I don't know.
Still doesn't compute.
I've always been PC first, and I felt like aside from the Sony exclusive, which are a lot.
There's a lot of Sony.
There's a lot of good ones for sure.
Good games.
Yeah. Last of Us. You know, yeah. Even this Spider-Man, recent year, there was a lot of good ones.
Spider-Man's my game of the year.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to trying all that out. So I'm not in rush for any new PS5 games, but it looks like I won't get my hands on one until after the year. So it's okay. I mean, at least Horizon Zero Dawn went on to PC, and I bought that. I just haven't played it yet. Aside from that, though, yeah, I've been hearing good reviews. I've been hearing the machine's a lot quieter. I've been hearing the controller has surprisingly really cool features with the rumble feedback, with some resistance in the trigger, which they don't really brag about. But it's been really crazy how basically the game control, how the trigger plays a factor in part of the game design, where it actually, if you're like as strong as I am, right? All right, not to brag, but I bench a lot, right? But like trigger is so hard that you can't even push it down if the game doesn't allow you to. So there's some kind of some new type of suspension that they got on there that they never really talk about, which is a nice, cool surprise. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think at least my friends who've been playing with it over the last couple of days have been pretty happy with it. No complaint. Really actually flipped my expectations. I mean, if you guys go back roundtable news since the beginning of the year, I was really doubting that it'll do as well as it did. I was completely surprised how the pandemic didn't really slow people down shopping, which makes me even.
Oh, the pandemic. I think the pandemic slowed down the availability of the console.
Sure.
The fact that you can't get one is, I think, the pandemic has.
Didn't think that was going to be the problem. I thought it was going to be people buying it. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a lot worse.
People are tired. People need to escape, right? You know,
Well, I guess the economy is all right for people to go out there and just drop half $1,000 on consoles.
I think the ones that would buy a console probably had jobs in the first place that can weather the pandemic.
You see that? So gamers are well off, is what you're saying.
I'm saying the ones that would be first day in line by a console are well off.
We'll always find the money.
You should have.
Nerds always have the money.
For sure. So speaking of which, we have to kind of hark back to what's up with Fortnite and the iPhone and Android wars. Although there's not really an update with Apple. I think Apple and Epic really hates each other at this point, and they're not backing down. So that story is still they hate each other. But Android, let me pull this up real quick. Android 12, Google just announced, said that it's going to provide options for third-party app stores, which I'm pulling up on my screen so that I am backing up my claim. But they are planning for this to happen sometime very soon, like even in the beginning of the next year and stuff, pretty much the next Android update.
That's not what I'm reading, right?
Like, you're not reading
features,
that?
Yeah, the other features will make it even easier for people to use other apps on their devices.
You still got to pay Google a fee.
While being careful not to compromise the safety measures Android has in place. So,
I think it's like an availability that's always been available for Android, but they're just making it more, a little bit pronounced. I think it's the right stance. They're not as combative as it seems like Apple is with Epic Games or third party apps, basically, which, you know, Google has always been the anti-Apple store. Well, it should be. That's how they position themselves. It's like everybody that doesn't have an Apple is using our OS.
If you read further, too, though, it says Google isn't, by contrast, relaxing its grip on the in-app payments for Play Store apps.
Right.
The company says that all developers selling digital goods in their apps are required to use Google Play's billing system.
As it should. I think there's...
Yeah. That's one of the things that your boy didn't want to do. Right, so that's one of the things he's like, why? I want to use my own payment system, right? Because you want to.
Yeah. Honestly, by this time, this kind of leads into another thing that I just saw too. What was it? Let me pull that up. There's a new tech that they're introducing, and I mean, Fortnite had a great run, right? And they're still selling millions, and they're
a great run.
Every game has its era, right? I do feel like Fortnite. Like I see it with my own child, right? Him and his friends are super. That's their first major game, right? They were playing, especially through this pandemic. They play the shit out of it, but now they are finally getting bored of it and discovering other games like Rocket League, which is a smart move by Epic for buying it, right? You know, all the other free games, Valorant,
Roblox.
He started Roblox. He still plays it once in a while, but he's starting to mature, which I see a great evolution of gamers, right? They start with the small games, and I'm seeing him through my own child that he's advancing to more complicated. Now he's playing Valorant and Overwatch, right? He started with Fortnite, very simple. So that's within the span of the last 4 or 5 months. So I do see that transition from people playing Fortnite all the time to playing other games. I'm not saying Fortnite's going anywhere anytime soon, but you know, they're doing as best as they can to kind of keep the interest going. I see this cool tech. It's kind of like the Apple front yard of their AI, not AI driven, but like facial recognition driven from the player, which is kind of creepy, but they're using this type of tech for upcoming. I think they just bought it. Let me read this right. Newly acquired HyperSense. Yeah, so Epic just bought HyperSense that specializes in expressive digital avatars. Like, honestly, is it really crazy? And I want to kind of bring this up, and it's not something I've read. It's speculation, guys. Wouldn't Epic be the perfect game company to come out with a gamer-focused phone? You don't think? Like a little bit elevated AAA driven. Like they're kind of bullying everyone else. You still think they're going to play by everybody's rules with all this
Razer
stuff
Razer
throwing around?
Razer trying to make a phone.
Yeah, but it's Razer. They make everything. And they're very good at making random things. Let's not get that wrong. But like there is a little bit more weight when a company like Epic comes out with a phone.
Has more weight for a phone than Razer, whose business it is to make hardware?
Honestly, yeah, maybe. My kid doesn't know what a Razer is. But if my kid, like even my kid knew about the Epic versus Apple thing, I didn't say anything to him. And, you know, God knows he doesn't watch my show. So he's getting that from somewhere. There is something to it. It's maybe it's nothing, but I don't know. I feel like all this stuff that they've been buying up so much lately has to be leading to something hardware focused. I mean, it's not impossible because Valve kind of did that out of left field and they're finding success with their Vive stuff, right? Epic, I feel like, doesn't have as much money, but they have a store, right? I feel like they're obviously always looking ahead of what's the next big thing with all this Fortnite money to invest forward, and knowing that Fortnite eventually will, you know, hit it end and can't be their main part of the business. So they have to invest into hardware, knowing full well that they don't have 100% control of their distribution, right? I don't know. I feel like everything that they're doing kind of is leading to that. I like we kind of speculated. Well, let's just you speculated by this time that Fortnite and Apple would be making up and kissing. I don't see that happening. I see that they are forever enemies.
I did say. Did I say by December? I think I said.
You said it by December. You still feel that way though? By Christmas time.
I mean, there's a couple more weeks.
That's not that much, man. Thanksgiving, they're not going to change their mind over some turkey. I feel honestly for someone like Epic to kind of burn that bridge so publicly with the number one phone maker in the United States, at least, that they're not going to grovel. They really meant to burn that bridge forever. And are thinking of different ways to capitalize. I mean, they have the funds, right? And I wouldn't be so opposed to a gamer-focused phone at this point. You don't think so? Oh, my God. So no. You're not a mobile gamer, right?
I do play some games on my mobile phone. And who makes the fastest GPU and CPU in Apple. Mobile phones today, right? And the games run great.
Yeah.
So, like, why do I need yet another phone for somebody who has never made a phone before ever? Right.
It is a tough business. How many people have failed? Microsoft have failed recently, a few years back. Google barely made it. Like, even when I thought their Pixel phones were pretty successful, it wasn't until recently where they're like finally gain some real ground. And then there's a lot of Chinese companies that kind of take that technology and make their own version.
Xiaomi.
Yeah, just kind of overlap.
Good Apple. Phones. Good
yeah,
phones.
Really yeah. good phones. Yeah. Yeah, the Asian companies are kind of killing it with the phones. So, well, I mean, that's pretty much it on Epic. I just want to provide an update. You know, not much there, but the Android update, even that is like a slow celebration, really, but not really. Like, I don't think they like that deal either.
Yeah.
I can't think that they are cool with both companies' response and really thought differently. That's why I kind of feel like if not a gamer phone, they're backing up something for distribution of their future games. Because, you know, Fortnite's huge and Rocket League would be awesome, I think, on the phone. If they can make that happen, it's still relevant. Let's move on to the next topic. So this is actually, you know, kind of kind of harking back to your heyday working at 2K. So this is an old topic, sort of, but this is a continuous of sports games. And I've always felt like sport games like NBA 2K and Madden, if for some reason they have a bad year, they always have that trump card of making it free to play, which will completely kill it. I think they're just holding that back. Is that what they're doing, in your opinion, with all these in-game ads that you can't skip? You feel like they're you think they're preparing for that shit? Because that's crazy, right? I mean, I can't understand. Look, FIFA doesn't even do this.
It's already kind of, it's not free to play because you have to pay the $60 initial game, $70 or whatever, right? But once you play the game, like the My Team mode and also the park mode, are for all intents and purposes, they're free to play microtransaction games at that point. And that's where all the money is made. That's where people spend all of their time playing the park and My Team, and it is a free to play game at this point. And then the thing about unskippable ads, I was hearing it was actually a mistake. It was actually like a bug or something that was making the ads play more frequently than they wished it to. But still, yeah, like I think having ads in your, like real ads in your game, is starting to go down that slippery slope. But they've had ads in the game for a long time now already.
You know, honestly, if it was free to play, I don't mind it. Like, it makes it feel like you're watching a game. It looks like you're watching a game right now. Anyways, it looks pretty good, right? Yeah. I think it's just the initial $70 that bothers people.
You try to milk more money out of me after you already got the $70.
Yeah, honestly, they're making good money, obviously, so they're gonna keep doing that. But I think they're gonna make a lot more money if they make it free to play. How many more players will they have? And
I think
you don't
I
think so.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think everybody that's going to play NBA has bought NBA. You know what I mean? And they buy it every year, and they're there, and then they flood my park, and they drop all of their money into my park. Like it's. I don't know if making it free to play would expand the base much more than
I'm
that.
I'm curious, but Madden's...
There is a 2K online. There is an NBA 2K online but it's pretty popular in China.
So they have a testing model.
So I don't know if it's available. I don't think it's available in the States, but it's definitely big in Asia.
I know Call of Duty did that too. There's a Call of Duty online only available in China, and it was crazy. Mm-hmm. When we saw it internally, like they had dragons and shit, and it looked pretty cool. It was well made, and it's only available in China. In that market.
Yep.
So these companies are always kind of doing this thing. I'm surprised there hasn't been one of these companies doing over here globally yet, like Madden, FIFA. They have examples of these models working. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sport games, like Rocket League has been the only recent one where I felt was closest that went free to play. And I think it's doing really well for them.
Like I said, they have the bits in there, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, My Team is a free to play game. Like, it is, you know, has booster packs, has the whole nine. It's like Ultimate Team in FIFA or Madden, right?
Yeah.
And My Park, there's a lot of free to play elements in that as well. And they have their own currency, VC currency, right? So it's, as far as I'm concerned, the only thing, it is free to play, but you just have to pay $60 for it, right? Like, it's like, once you buy it, I know. but once you buy it, it's a free to play game, like in how it's designed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're just waiting for a flop to kind of turn that key. But, this kind of goes back to our first topic with, you know, the new system coming out, right? I was telling a friend earlier today, actually, where I was just looking at my hard drive and I was really considering deleting Warzone because that shit was 200 gigs off my hard disk. And the next gen versions have both a digital and hard disk version. And I think the old school smarter ones got the hard disk, the actual Blu-ray version. And a lot of people went for the digital version. Only to find out that these games are so huge that only three games can really fit at one time, even with a terabyte. But and even, I think it's one of the biggest problems happening for this gen.
Yeah, but even if you buy a disc version, you still, like, just like on PS4,
you still got to install it.
You still install it, right? So I don't know if what version you buy matters, because it's still going to take up a whole bunch of space on your hard drive. And Lee, I'm finding the same thing is true with PC games, right? Like
my newer PC games are
approaching 80 to 100 gigs, right? Base without all the DLC and all the nonsense that you have to download on top of that, right? Warzone. I almost installed Warzone because I wanted to check it out, and it was like 80 gigabyte download. I was like, nope. I was like,
80 gigabyte. And dude, at one point it was 200 gigs for me, dude, just with all the install patches.
I mean, the initial download was 80, and I'm just like, nope, it's not that important.
But that's what I mean, man. Yeah. I wanted to open this topic up a bit because it's becoming, I feel, one of the biggest topics for both gamers and game developers. I think game developers work better with limitations. and now we're saying 1 terabyte, go at it, guys. And I don't think that is the smartest thing to do because as a gamer, I hate it. I don't like how my hard drive is only taken up by one game and I have to make decisions. And the decision is not instantaneous. I have to wait for like hours to delete and install a new game. And and I think it deters me from trying other big games little games.
Yeah, well, most people, but I'm saying you can't actually get external storage, right? And on the new console, at least on Xbox, right, it allows you to use it as a swap, right? Where it'll back up the game to that, and then the new game that you want to play will be on the fast SSD, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can play there, and so you have a bigger external drive just for the storage of your games externally, right?
I don't feel like it's solving the problem.
And then also the Xbox has the external slot for the fast memory, so you could buy an expansion card. And then on the PS5 they have another NVMe slot for your another SSD, right? So they're you know, like, you could get more storage, it's gonna cost you, you know,
but is that
between $100 to $300 to get more storage, right? You know,
my camera's dying on me again.
They can't give you 2 terabytes of super fast NVMe SSD, right? Because that's a $300 to $400 piece of hardware just by itself.
Is that the step in the right direction though? Like, there's obviously a limitation to that. If you're asking someone to, only the hardcore will go out to buy extra storage, but most people will kind of bite the bullet and wait around or make a decision not to install certain games.
If you're not the one to have external storage and all that, like, I'm also going to argue that you're not the one to have a whole bunch of games.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if you're not the hardcore, you're not going to buy every game that's out.
Well, I think it definitely deters people from trying new games and then even buying new games, right?
Yeah.
I figured it's going to hurt us. I mean, it's hurting me now as a gamer. Like, I'm making an executive decision now. It's like, do I want to keep Warzone? Do I see myself playing this, you know, next month? Do I want to sit there and reinstall that? You know, I'm making a decision of playing this forever or not.
But if you're talking on a PC, you have way more options on the PC for external and more storage that... It's not really an issue on PC.
It's an issue, bro. Yeah. I do have 4 different, you know, SSDs.
Yeah.
Right. And I have 1 terabyte dedicated to just games, and fucking 1/4 of it is taken up by one game. And I don't like that. It's like, what am I installing here?
I have a three terabyte physical drive that I had all my games on. And I finally upgraded to an NVMe, and I got a 2 terabyte NVMe. Where I have all the games on there, or at least have the games that the newer ones that I'm playing right now on installed on there. And it's like, you know, like I've probably eaten a gigabyte. I'm sorry, almost a terabyte of it's gone already with like three or four or five games installed.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But still, you know, like I have enough storage in the machine where I can do the juggle if I need to, right? I still have a lot of free space.
And
I have 2 more NVMe slots that are available to put stuff into, right? So I can even take it up a couple more.
Hardcore is the hardcore. If we're trying to expand this industry, you know, at least the big games, right? People wanting to play the big games, and a lot of them, right? Although, you know, in a year there are 3 or 4 big games, but there's many more big games and many more big games that are good that people should play.
Yeah.
But I feel like this hard drive thing is becoming such an issue where it's keeping people from playing games or playing a game long enough to get to the good part. You know what I mean?
I think tech will also solve some of this problem. One thing I want to say before I say that is Cyberpunk 2077 is probably going to be an enormous ass game, right?
Yeah.
But tech, I think, is solving this problem, right?
Like, are they?
Yes.
Is there some major compression?
On PS5, there is talk of compression, right? So the files can get decompressed on the fly and stored into memory. Rad Game Tools released, you know, an article about their compression scheme, right? So they have a compression scheme for textures, which is one of the big things that take up a lot of space on disk, so that they can, like, you know, so you do the DXT compression of the textures, but then you can also compress it some more block aware compression, right? Mm-hmm. And then the hardware itself, there's software on the hardware itself that can actually decode that compression and reestablish the texture through decompression, right? So like there's tech that I'm sure, and compression algorithms and things that people are working on to shrink the size of what is on your actual disk. Mm-hmm. And then it's the same size thing when it's in memory and running in your game. But when it's on the disk, it's compressed. And there's a lot of talk of with the new NVIDIA graphics cards and with the new AMD graphics cards, if you have PCIe 3.0 and an NVMe drive and the right CPU, you use like Microsoft Direct Storage, and things can store straight from your SSD straight into graphics memory, so the CPU doesn't have to interfere with that. And that API also has built-in, could also do some compression or decompression of data through that API, right?
So this gen will be solved then, this issue. I mean,
I'm not saying it's going to solve it, but I'm saying that tech can help at least reduce the footprint of these things, right? So we shall see how that turns out.
It is a topic that I'm trying to find a guest to kind of dedicate an episode to, because it has been one of those hidden ones that's been creeping up in everybody's personal experience, but no one's really dedicating.
Yeah, I mean, we've been
any research on it. Yeah,
we've been compressing game data for a long time, right? And it was before it was like, oh, how's this going to fit on the disk, right? Oh my god,
always really good on that, but like, I think the last gen to this gen, it's been largely unchecked.
it still has to fit on the disk, but it just turns out the disks are very large.
Well, to me, it happened right when game developers figured that day one launch can be launched with an empty disc with a day one patch. I think that was when the Pandora's box was opened and we were we were left unchecked for a long time. It felt like a long period where a lot of that bullshit was happening, and people were checking texture sizes and shit.
Well, once you could do the patch, right, then you're not really beholden to the size of the actual physical media anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So you could be a little bit larger, right?
But if everybody
hates it when you get a patch and it's like download another 50 gigs, right? Like nobody wants to do that.
I think this is a win for game devs to not be restricted, but a complete loss to gamers. It's just insane.
I don't know if it's a loss of gamers if they're getting...
Bro, if I have 1 terabyte and I only can have 3 games on it, it's a failure. 1 terabyte is a lot of disk space.
Yeah, you got 3 games that you're playing, right? And it's not... I don't even know if... I think you're exaggerating that one, but still, it's not...
For PC players, we have options. But I think because of this gen, it being such a focus now... Yeah. That regular gamers are going to have an issue where they're not going to be able to easily swap or want to swap or add SSD cards onto their PS5, right? They're going to be like, what the fuck? I sit 2 hours for a 200 gig download that I thought I bought on disc. I guess that's for nothing. They're going to discover all these tricks that we've been pulling over their eyes and they're gonna, it's gonna hit them all at once. And I think people are already upset.
I think it's already been a problem on PS3 and Xbox
for a while. Yeah.
Or sorry, not PS3, PS4.
PS4.
Yeah. Xbox One.
PS4 Pro. Yeah.
Yeah.
PS4 Pro, especially.
Yeah. Not even Pro. Like, Pro is 1 terabyte. It was the one before that, the regular PS4.
People were annoyed with the day one install.
Yeah. So people are already annoyed with that, but like at the same time, if you want more fidelity, you want 4K, you want bigger textures, like you want PVR, like it's just going to get bigger.
That's fine, man. That's why you gotta put in the resources for the compression technology. All the shit that you talked about sounds like we need to throw more programmers at that, right? Make you crash more.
What? Yeah, I think the thing is, like, there are compression techniques that people are using already, and it's still, you know, like there's a lot of content, a lot of data, right? Mm-hmm. There's actually a good talk too by talking about Spider-Man and the work they did there to reduce their data sizes on disk.
See, I need to read that up. What was that on?
That was at GDC.
Is that on the remap? Oh, the last one then, right? The first.
It was about the first Spider-Man. It was a pretty good, it was about all of their tech, but a part of the talk talked about the storage, the file sizes on disk.
Yeah, it's becoming a big problem, man. I'm going to look that up and I'll link it to you guys if I can find it. PS5 only has, let me look this up right now.
800 gigabytes.
Nope, not even less than that for gameplay.
The disc is 800 gigabytes, and then a couple hundred of it goes away for the system or something like that.
Yeah, let me switch it up here so you guys can see it.
Yeah.
All right.
Now that I think is kind of crazy, but I understand why.
That's a lot, man. So explain to the lay people. I understand, of course, right?
You explain to the people.
but I don't want to. This is your field, sir, professor. You have the floor. Why exactly are there only about 350 gigs of? Where does that get allotted to?
It's 667 gigabytes.
Yeah, but like that means 350 gigs if it's a 1 terabyte. Well, actually, 825, right? So 200.
I have no idea where 100 and some odd gigs is going. I have no idea, right? But I do know the reason why the disk, I'm supposing the reason why the disk is small is because it's a super fast SSD that is faster than any SSD you can buy off the shelf currently. And I have a pretty fast SSD in my PC, and that joint is expensive. Mm-hmm. Right. And so like you want the price of the console to still be $500. Something has to give.
So you think it's a poor man SSD then?
I'm saying it's a really, really fast SSD, but you have to keep the cost down, right? And so the size, the amount of memory or the storage that is on the SSD impacts the size. It impacts the cost, right?
Well, I am seeing like the last 24 hours, it has been a lot about storage space. So gamers are causing a murmur, not an uproar yet, but they are noticing like, what the fuck?
Spider-Man Miles Morales, the Ultimate Launch Edition, is 105 gigabytes. And Demon's Souls is 66 gigabytes. And Black Ops Cold War is 133 gigabytes.
Yeah, I don't know. Those Blu-ray discs can hold how much again? The latest one?
I think, I can't remember, but it's a lot, right?
I'll look that up right now. I mean, we're kind of dedicating this roundtable to this because it is something I feel it's going to slow gamers down. People are like, the biggest sale, the hook, has been how fast Gain's been able to load or not load at all, right? But in fact, but in fact, all the loading is happening for installation. That's the irony of that. And it's fucking one game at a time only. Since I skipped last gen, I'm imagining it's the same sitting there and waiting, right? It's nothing special. 200 gigs of download is still 200 gigs of download, correct? The consoles aren't doing anything special to speed that up.
Your download is, that's what you're downloading. Yeah. But the compression, that's what I'm saying, the compression of like what is actually stored on your disk, that it helps you download speeds too, because you're going to be downloading less, right, for the same amount of data if it had good compression. Good luck.
I mean, your friends aren't having some master formula. You don't think this will be, as far as I'm hearing things, it seems like this is par for the course for this gen. That's just the way it is. Deal with it. Sort of.
I just think games are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? And I think one of the things that the console folks focused on was super fast SSDs and really removing the loading times. That's expensive, and so in order to keep the cost down, they're skipping on the space. You know what I mean?
Okay, I kind of want to brush over this topic. You're the Toronto office, right? So this is the Montreal office. It sounds like it was a hoax, but the Ubisoft office reported a hostage potential scenario that turned out to be just a bad phone call. You know, there were people on the roofs, people recognizing on Twitter. If there was ever a reason to not go back in the office, I think this helps.
I wouldn't even say that. If there's ever a reason why people are trash, this is a good example of that, right?
Well,
I think swatting an office for whatever reason,
yeah,
right, is dumb, yeah, right? And not only is it dumb, it's also dangerous.
Very dangerous.
And it could get people hurt. You know what I mean? Die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, and there's people I know that work in that office too, right? And so like it's just really shitty for someone to do something like
that. Did you know anyone that were at the office at the time that had to?
I'm sure there's some people I know that were at the office at the same time, but I know some folks I do know were at home at the time because the office wasn't at 100% capacity.
Yeah.
But still like just doing that just seems like, why? Like, find something better to do with your life, right?
I always chalk this up to a department at the studio that had like a due date that they wanted to avoid. And they just called this in just to avoid hitting that deadline. I mean, it might be a stretch. It might not be. But I feel like maybe in Canada, game studios are that available for regular people to swat people for? I don't know. I just find it hard that regular citizens would do this.
No, I mean, there's a lot of recent news about Ubisoft, right? One. Okay. And then there's a lot of a few of their games just came out.
Watch Dogs, Assassins.
And Assassins, right? Yeah, yeah. And it could easily be some disgruntled person just being mad because it's cool to be mad and doing a SWAT attack on the office. Right. Like that's very plausible, right? And whoever it was, it's just shameful behavior.
It's crazy that people can get away with that. It seems actually I feel less great about our technology at this point. I feel like that's something that we should be pretty good at nailing people on. Since everyone's so monitored.
Well, did they catch them? Well, I don't know. I don't know if they caught them yet, but I'm sure they will catch whoever it is. They usually catch these people that do this stuff, right?
I know. Cool.
Yeah. Let me see. If there's any update.
It's very watchdog-ish. If there was ever a PR stunt, you know.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I mean this month. Yeah, I mean this recent news of in the last month have been pretty calm, given the sellout of the consoles and it finally launching. Very surprised by it still, but you know, logically thinking that people still had money to spend and was going to spend on it anyways. I do want to comment a bit from our last roundtable. It was I think it was a split decision. I think a lot of listeners didn't call in, but messaged and commented saying, they see the strengths of both sides.
No, I saw some comments saying that we both didn't know what the hell we were talking about. So
yeah, well, I didn't see that. I only saw maybe one person said that. The funny thing that was opposing me was the same argument that I felt a gamer would say that don't understand game dev, or how entertainment licensing works. I didn't see anything that really made me pause for rethinking my stance. And that's probably because I'm stubborn. But but I really still just want to end this episode with at least replying to some of those. There was a lot of comment that were using my example, saying like, you know, how I use Nikes as like a comparison, right? And people was like, well, you don't play with Nike shoes, you know? And I just want to reiterate, for me, when I play games, especially Final Fantasy, right? Let's still find Metal Gear Solid, especially, right? To me, that the experience of playing the game is as much as watching the game and kind of going through that linear experience and unraveling the story, right? And I think that those type of games can't be discounted. And streaming have clearly shown that it destroys that element of surprise of playing the game, because if one of your incentives to find out the story, especially Final Fantasy, the old Final Fantasy, kind of walk you down my memory lane. So if it's old for me, it's super old for you, right? where Final Fantasy VII, I remember playing through the games, which were fun on its own, but the graphics weren't there. A lot of those games, the graphics weren't that impressive to kind of keep you going. But it wasn't until the cutscene where I was like super excited, and that would kind of bridge the gap for me for getting through the gameplay to watch the cutscene, to watch the story progress, right? I just feel that streaming destroys that. Simple as that. And people who say it's not interactive, therefore it's okay, I don't think that's true. I think what makes games super cool is that it combines movie-going experience. It combines the enjoyment of music. It combines storytelling, and it adds interactivity on top of it. It's all of that. And so I don't think you can discount any part of that because all of that makes a game, not just the interactive part. And so that's my answer to that. So if you want to reply to any of your hater comments, go for it. But I think I hate on you enough where you don't need to. You reply to pretty much whatever I said. So
you already know, man. I don't care what people be saying. All
time, so. I don't care either, actually. I kind of revel in the attention of hate. I'm like, oh, cool. You know, maybe it's one of my one of the things I got to work through therapy. But I actually like people challenging and debating thoughts that don't match their own. I like discussions. Sure. So yeah. I think that's one of that topic, especially apart from the hard drive storage topic that's been kind of in smaller circles and forums debating. The streaming thing has been pretty controversial because I've seen that type of discussion everywhere. Not covered enough, but I do see these circles kind of defending both sides, which leads to me that we do need to have a bigger, serious conversation where we're not so divided on this. And I'm talking for both the gamers and game developers. If there's enough people arguing for both sides, it's obviously a system that's not working for all.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before, right? We said, like, you know, if game developers don't like it, they can do DMCA takedown notices. They actually can do that.
Yeah.
And the ones that do support the streamers, and they are, and it's becoming a whole thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's really anything to do beyond that, right? If you don't want people to stream your game, tell them, please don't stream my game. And most people won't. And then if they still do DMCA and keep it pushing.
Was there a popular game that did that recently? Because I am looking for someone like that to come on the show and talk about their experience.
Yeah,
you've done that before?
No. I was saying, I don't know if you can. The one company that I know that did that a lot was Nintendo, right?
Ugh. Nintendo's tough. Those guys. Right. It'd be hard to get on. So there's no other besides Nintendo that you can think of?
I can't remember. I do know that there might have been some people that said, hey, our game's a narrative game. You could only stream the first hour. But like, I mean, you could do a Google search and try to find who those folks are.
Man, it might be worth getting Gaynor back on. I use his game so much as like a example why streaming is bad. I wonder what his thoughts on is. Yeah. Might be too unpopular. That's the taboo thing that's happening. It's too unpopular to oppose streaming and say that. So not a lot of game developers are outspoken about what they feel about it, which is where I come in, right? I'll be that for you. But it is dangerous, right? It's kind of crazy the backlash that people get for. It's kind of like the. This is funny, right? So recently, someone. We have a lot of new listeners that haven't caught up yet that listen from episode one. And so they're getting to the point when we had the maker of Adrift on. His name slipped my name. Sorry, dude. But he happened to be the guy who worked at Microsoft and had that whole controversy saying that it's always connected and stuff and got fired over it, right?
He went on.
So we interviewed him a few years back, not knowing that backstory. And if he's still listening, you know, finally the truth comes out. It's like, we didn't know. And so we did an interview without mentioning it. And he actually commended both Larry and I saying that, hey man, it's super cool that you didn't bring that up. And I was like, yeah, of course, man. And then I immediately had to Google afterward what the hell he's talking about to realize, holy shit, this is the guy who just recently went through this horrible experience where the whole company turned their back on him and shit. But I feel like the equivalent of that
Adam Orth.
Adam Orth. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. I'll link that episode on this link notes. It's one of the earlier episodes. But I feel that that controversy is sort of equaling to this one, where game devs are kind of forced to agree. And it's kind of bad to not, for possible backlash. It's it feels like the like until we actually talked about it last month, I didn't realize how bad it was for me to say the things that I was saying. Didn't know. I thought it was very sensible and reasonable, even. And people sort of agreed, but others didn't. Had no idea that it was such a thing. That even shows that the industry is so much stronger than the game development industry right now, where they have that many people fighting for it. I mean, is there a point? I'll leave it with this, right? Is there a line that you feel that we would be, what do you call it? Is it exposed? Exposure? Not exposure. Taken advantage of, where game developer is really left in the dust? Like, how much bigger does that part of the industry have to be where you feel like, all right, now this is becoming a problem? Or is there never a scenario like that for you?
Yeah, like I said before, I think it's a symbiotic relationship.
Is it?
You know, so like, we make games, people are going to want to stream them. We got to learn to work together.
So if a streamer makes more money than you.
They already are, man.
Streaming your game exclusively.
They already are.
You know, sales.
What that tells me is that the people making the game need to know
better business skills.
How to stream and get a piece of that pie.
Yeah. It's true. I still stand by, but I'm learning. I'm open to be educated. But for those listening, man, I am looking for that one recent company that did order DMC takedowns and went through that whole process. I am looking for that person to kind of talk about that side of the story, because I think it is important to kind of investigate and listen to more for the repercussions of that. I think that's very interesting. But thank you, Ray, as always, for coming on. I know last time I said that might be the last roundtable. This is the last roundtable. I'll probably won't talk to you till the beginning of next year. I did mention many times that I might be taking a break, but I do have some episodes that I have booked already that I'm going to do. And it might be the only thing I do over December, just talking to people. I don't mind it. It's fun for me. So thank you all. And have a good Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving week. Sorry for those who can't. Well, when this episode is out, people will be preparing to all be lonely again, eating their turkey. But be safe for those living in the United States. I guess worldwide, it's actually pretty bad right now. Just hold out a little longer, I think. The vaccine is almost here. It takes about 6 months, really, maybe in spring when all of us can get it. Mm-hmm. But even then, it'll probably be till summer when everyone actually takes it. We do have anti-vaccinators out there who haven't even taken the flu vaccine. And to be honest, I'm not actually anti-vaccinator. I've never really been a routine flu vaccinator every year. I've just never gotten sick. I never really had a problem fighting off the sickness on my own. But even with this COVID thing, I'm gonna take no chances and handle that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I hope you guys consider the same to make our world normal again. Cool, Ray, thank you for discussing these topics, and enjoy
show
the riches. Have fun, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are liking the podcast, go to the Apple iTunes store and give Game Dev Unchained a 5-star rating. This will help spread the joy and love and exposure for the podcast, and we thank you very much. If you want to continue the conversation, go to our Discord, which can be found on our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at BlueChamps, BlueChamps. You want to catch these episodes live every Tuesdays and Thursdays, go to twitch.tv/blue_champs. Email me any of your concerns or questions that you want me to read aloud at the beginning of each episode at info@gamedevunchained.com. And if you want to further support us and help unlock the next feature, which is the voicemail feature, go to patreon.com/BlueChamps. This gives listeners a chance to kind of call in, leave a message for both me and the guests to answer your deepest, darkest questions and comment on your deepest, darkest secrets. Thank you, everybody.